Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it." These two little parables, the parable of the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price, had a strong impact in my life at a very key moment in my life, in my vocational discernment to the priesthood. And as I was praying about this homily this weekend, I just felt like the Lord was just inviting me to just tell the story about how this little parable, these two little parables, had a key impact in my life. So, a little background. My heavy kind of discernment years for the priesthood was when I was in college. Started around my sophomore year is when I first started thinking about the idea of becoming a priest. And by the time I graduated from college, I was pretty certain that I needed to at least go to seminary at some point. It was after college that I came to Minnesota from my home in Texas to serve with Net Ministries. I was a missionary with them for several years, traveling around the country, doing retreats for Catholic teenagers. And during my time serving as a missionary too, that desire just continued to grow in my heart to want to be a priest. And then after 3 years of serving with Net, this missionary group, it was the summer of 2006. And it was that point I was starting to feel really sure, like, okay, God's calling me to go to seminary. So I started getting applications, and the plan was I was going to do one more year of mission work, and then in the fall of 2007, I'd start seminary at St. Thomas to study for the priesthood for our archdiocese, St. Paul, Minneapolis. And so I was feeling pretty good about that, you know, that there was a lot of discernment too. Do I go back to Texas? Do I stay here? Do I go back to Texas? And so I was feeling good, and then that summer, in June of 2006, right after kind of making that decision, I had the great privilege of going out to Pennsylvania for a week-long conference course on the theology of the body, taught by Christopher West. Christopher West is a well-known Catholic speaker, author. He's helped to really popularize John Paul II's theology of the body. If you're not really familiar with the theology of the body, it's the working title that was given to a series of catechetical talks that John Paul II gave over the course of about 5 years in the late 70s and the early 80s. And the focus of the theology of the body was in which John Paul II taught was really about the question, answering the question, what does it mean to be a human person? And thus, with that knowledge of what it means to be a human person, how does that affect the way we view marriage and sexuality? And so this beautiful teaching about human sexuality and marriage and what does it mean to be a human person. So I spent a whole week in June of 2006 we did 30 hours of lecture time in just 5 days with this great teacher in a really small setting. There was only about 90 to 100 people there. And all week long, as I'm learning more about the sacrament of marriage from an intellectual, theological standpoint, my mind is like consistently just getting blown away. Like, wow, this is so cool. I never realized how awesome the sacrament of marriage really is. One thing that was really helpful for me that week too, something that I had struggled with up to that point when I was a young adult, was the church's teachings about contraception, artificial contraception. I'd always struggle with that. I never really understood the rationale, the logic. Like, what's the big deal? If it's a married couple, what difference does it make? But really studying the theology of the body really helped me understand why the church teaches what she does and how that love and life can never be separated. And then as Paul VI said in his great encyclical in 1968, Humanae Vitae, he said that when it comes to the marital act, the reproductive and the unitive ends of the marital act can never be separated. And so I came to understand that in a deeper sense, and that was really helpful for me. So again, all week I'm having this like great objective theological reflection on the sacrament of marriage. At the same time that week, as I'm having this deep theological reflection on how awesome the sacrament of marriage is, That week, I had a more subjective experience of how great the sacrament of marriage could possibly be. So that week at that course, that class, I met a girl there. She was great. She was awesome. And I mean, they're just instant connection. And we talked many times throughout the week, and it was just like, I was like, I was back in middle school, you know? It's like I'm walking into the cafeteria, I'm walking into the classroom, I'm looking around, where is she sitting? Why is that guy talking to her? And at the end of the week, the last night of the conference, I was praying, and my heart is just kind of going all over the place. And I'm talking to the Lord, I'm saying, Lord, like, what are you doing? You know, I just made this kind of key decision. I was going to start seminary in a year. Are you throwing me a curveball? You know, like, am I supposed to go get this girl's number, start dating her, etc.? And at that moment, I'll never forget that last night of this conference, Jesus spoke so clearly to me. He said, Brian, I brought you here this week to help you in both an intellectual level and at an experiential level, to help you understand more deeply how awesome is the sacrament of marriage. Because I'm asking you to sacrifice that desire and follow me in a special way. And when I heard the Lord say that to me, it was like dagger right into my heart. And it's like waiting for my response. What do I say to that? And at that moment, when my heart is just aching, what came to mind? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in the field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Thanks be to God. At that moment in my life, I had found the treasure. I had found the pearl of great price. It's Jesus. And here he was asking me to set this desire aside and to follow him in a special way. And all I could say is, Lord, I'd give up anything for you. You are my one true treasure. I feel like it was in that moment I really said yes to living a life of consecrated celibacy. And it hurt tremendously. But what was so neat was that what I sensed deeper than the pain in my heart, way in the depths of my soul, I remember the feeling, the experience of joy. The joy was deeper than the pain. The joy, the idea of getting to serve God in this very special way. The conference ended the next day, got on a plane, flew back to Minnesota. I never got that girl's number, never saw her ever again. I am so grateful for that experience for two main reasons. Number one, the Lord taught me an incredibly important lesson that week about sacrifice. And the lesson is this: a sacrifice means nothing if you do not value that which you are sacrificing. For example, during Lent, you know what's really easy for me to sacrifice during Lent? Broccoli. I hate broccoli. It's really easy for me to give up broccoli during Lent because it doesn't mean anything to me. But you know what's really hard to give up during Lent? Chocolate chip cookies, ice cream, red meat. Gin. Why? Because I value those things. Those things mean something to me. Some people may hear this story and say, wow, God is like, was God just like torturing you that week? You know, holding something out in front of you that you desired and then saying, ha ha, you can't have this. No, that's not what God was doing. He was helping me realize the truth that as a celibate, we don't say that marriage and family is a bad thing, so I don't want that. No, the celibate says that I recognize marriage and family as a good thing, as an amazing thing. And I even recognize a desire for it because that's natural, that's human. But because it's such a good thing, it makes the sacrifice all the more greater to offer to God because you appreciate that which you are sacrificing. The second lesson I walked away that week from, which I'm so grateful for, is that really at that point, I really feel like my vocational discernment was over. That was a year before I entered seminary. A lot of guys in seminary really struggle with the vocational discernment. You know, do I stay in? Do I leave? Do I not? And go back and forth. For me, from day one, I was like, I'm doing this. I made the decision over a year ago. It's like, just tell me what I need to know, because we got to get out there and start saving some souls. Obviously, not everyone is called to a life of consecrated celibacy, clearly. But the gospel is still the same. The gospel remains true for all those who seek to follow Christ. And the truth is this, we're all invited to come to see Jesus as our one true treasure, as the pearl of great price. And once I come to realize that, if he asks, there should be nothing that I'm not willing to sacrifice for the treasure, for the pearl, for him.